Ever wondered why your siblings are so different from you despite sharing the same parents and household? Why your firstborn is a perfectionist while your lastborn seems to get away with everything? For over 35 years, psychologist Dr. Kevin Lehman has studied how birth order profoundly shapes personality, relationships, and behavior patterns. His groundbreaking work has been validated by extensive research, including Frank Sulloway's 26-year study of 6,500 historical figures that confirmed firstborns tend toward conservatism, while laterborns embrace innovation. The book has become a cultural touchstone, with executives like former PepsiCo division president Mike Lorelli ordering it by the case for employees and clients. Understanding birth order isn't just fascinating psychology. It's a practical tool that can transform your relationships, parenting approach, and even give you a competitive edge in business. Birth order isn't simply about being first, middle, or last. It's a complex interplay of variables that shapes who we become. Like branches on a family tree growing in different directions, siblings naturally differentiate themselves. The firstborn establishes a direction, and typically, the secondborn goes the opposite way. This pattern explains why children from the same family can view identical experiences through completely different lenses. When I present birth order personality profiles at seminars, I can identify people's positions with remarkable accuracy. Firstborns and only children typically display perfectionist, reliable, conscientious traits. They're list makers, well-organized, and logical. Middle children show diplomatic, independent, and mediating characteristics. Lastborns exhibit manipulative, charming, and attention-seeking behaviors. The statistics supporting birth order patterns are compelling. Firstborns dominate positions of high achievement. 64% of U.S. presidents were firstborns or functional firstborns. 21 of the first 23 astronauts were firstborns. They appear disproportionately in who's who directories, among Rhodes Scholars, and as university professors. Research even confirms firstborns have slightly higher IQs than their siblings, likely due to receiving more undivided parental attention early on. However, birth order isn't deterministic. Various factors can modify these patterns, including spacing between siblings, gender distribution, physical or mental differences, parental birth orders, and family dynamics. For instance, when siblings are separated by 5 or more years, they may develop as functional firstborns, despite their ordinal position. A child born after a large gap often becomes a quasi-only child, with characteristics different from typical middle or lastborn patterns. The key insight is that birth order isn't a rigid, cookie-cutter system. It's about identifying dynamic relationships between family members. While not explaining everything about personality, it provides invaluable clues about an individual's tendencies, thought processes, and relationship patterns. Firstborns are conscientious, organized, serious, goal-oriented achievers who please people and respect authority. They're typically perfectionistic, reliable, list makers, critical, scholarly, self-sacrificing, conservative, and self-reliant. Their drive toward success and stardom makes them impossible to ignore. Why do firstborns develop these traits? As parental guinea pigs, they face a mix of overprotection, anxiety, and high expectations. Everything about them is treated as important, from elaborate baby showers to filled photo albums to celebrated developmental milestones. Firstborns walk and talk earlier than laterborns because of all the coaching and attention they receive. With only adults as early role models, they naturally adopt grown-up characteristics, preferring control, organization, and predictability. In my corporate executive seminars, firstborn dominance is striking. In one CEO organization, 19 of 20 attendees were firstborns. At a young president's organization meeting, 23 of 26 were firstborns. When speaking to the Ohio Society of Accountants, I asked all firstborns and only children to stand. Almost the entire room of 221 accountants rose. However, this achievement orientation comes at a cost. Firstborns often feel they never got to be a kid and resent that their younger siblings got away with murder. They're typically assigned more work and responsibility, often becoming the default babysitter instead of spending time with friends. The perfectionism that drives their success can become their greatest burden. Consider Frank, an electrical engineer who insisted his desk wasn't messy because he maintained order within disorder. Though some firstborns appear disorganized, they still exhibit classic perfectionist traits, never being satisfied, always believing they could do better, and constantly trying harder. This perfectionism manifests differently in different people. Some firstborns can't fix anything around the house. Others are chronically late, but the underlying tendency remains. The most successful firstborns learn to distinguish between perfectionism and excellence. Perfectionism sets impossible goals, bases self-worth on accomplishments, gives up easily, is devastated by failure, obsesses over mistakes, needs to be number one, fears criticism, and ties self-image entirely to winning. Excellence, by contrast, sets achievable goals, values oneself regardless of performance, persists through setbacks, learns from mistakes, moves past failures, feels satisfied with best effort, welcomes constructive criticism, and maintains self-worth regardless of outcomes. Only children share many traits with firstborns, but with greater intensity, often developing characteristics that set them apart from their multi-sibling peers. They typically become little adults by age 7, displaying thoroughness, deliberateness, and remarkably high achievement orientation. These children exhibit exceptional self-motivation, approaching tasks with methodical precision and showing cautiousness in new situations. Their reading habits are particularly notable, often consuming material well above their grade level and demonstrating sophisticated comprehension skills at an early age. The psychological makeup of only children tends toward distinct patterns. They frequently think in black and white terms, rarely seeing gray areas in decisions or moral choices. Their speech patterns often reflect this tendency, using superlatives and absolute terms like always or never. This rigid thinking extends to their self-image, where they commonly fear failure to an unusual degree and maintain exceptionally high self-expectations. Socially, they display a unique pattern of relating to others, often feeling more at ease with people significantly older or younger than themselves, while sometimes struggling to connect with peers their own age. Despite Alfred Adler's infamous judgment that only children have difficulties with every independent activity and sooner or later become useless in life, modern research thoroughly debunks this outdated view. Numerous accomplished only children have made significant marks in various fields. Presidents Gerald Ford and Franklin Roosevelt demonstrated exceptional leadership abilities. Journalists Ted Koppel and Charles Gibson became trusted voices in media, while business leaders like T. Boone Pickens revolutionized their industries. These examples, among countless others, definitively prove that only children can be highly successful, independent, and influential contributors to society. Understanding only children requires examining the circumstances behind their single child status. Special jewel-only children emerge from families where parents wanted more children but couldn't have them, often resulting in overprotective parenting and potential self-centeredness in the child. These children often receive intense attention and resources but may struggle with the weight of being their parents' sole focus. Parental plan-onlys, on the other hand, result from deliberate family planning decisions. While earlier generations of planned-for-onlys often faced excessive pressure to be little adults, contemporary parenting approaches have evolved to better balance expectations and emotional support. The perfectionist tendency in only children often manifests as an intense need for control and precision. They frequently become ultra-perfectionists who insist on things being done exactly their way, whether in school projects, workplace tasks, or personal relationships. When reality falls short of their exacting standards, they can become notably frustrated, displaying impatience and intolerance toward what they perceive as others' inadequacies. The discouraged perfectionist personality type is particularly common among only children. These individuals set impossibly high standards for themselves and others, leading to chronic disappointment and stress as they grapple with the persistent gap between their idealized self-image and their actual capabilities. The path to better adjustment for only children lies in moderating these perfectionist tendencies by lowering the high jump bar of life. This doesn't mean abandoning high standards entirely, but rather shifting from an impossible pursuit of perfection to a more sustainable pursuit of excellence. When only children learn to set challenging but achievable goals, they often find greater satisfaction and fulfillment in their accomplishments, celebrating their successes while maintaining room for growth and improvement. Middle children often feel overlooked and ignored, positioned between the privileged firstborn and the pampered lastborn. Like Rodney Dangerfield's catchphrase, "I don't get no respect," middle children frequently report feeling unremarkable. Their older siblings got the glory, while younger ones received the attention. Parents often fail to recognize middle children's unique identity, introducing them without the special designations given to firstborns, my oldest, or lastborns, the baby. Family photo albums typically contain abundant pictures of firstborns and lastborns, but few of middle children. The critical factor shaping middle children is the branching off effect. Each child patterns their life by observing the sibling directly above them. Secondborns typically develop in reaction to firstborns, either competing with them or shooting off in an entirely different direction. This explains why secondborns often develop personalities opposite to their older siblings. Middle children embody paradoxes and contradictions. They can be simultaneously shy yet sociable, impatient yet laid back, competitive yet easygoing, rebellious yet peacekeeping. Their development depends heavily on family dynamics, making them less predictable than other birth orders. Common middle child qualities include being diplomatic, independent, loyal to peers, secretive, and unspoiled. To cope with their squeezed position, middle children typically develop extensive friendships outside the family. Unlike firstborns who have fewer friends, middle children create external families where they feel special and accepted. They leave home emotionally quicker, seeking peer groups where they're just the right age, rather than too young compared to older siblings or too old compared to younger ones. Middle children frequently develop strong negotiation and compromise skills, becoming natural mediators from navigating between older and younger siblings. While these skills benefit them in many life situations, they can sometimes lead to excessive compliance. Some middle children become people pleasers who avoid conflict at all costs, potentially becoming victims in unhealthy relationships. Despite feeling squeezed between siblings, middle children typically have fewer psychological issues than firstborns or only children. Research shows they're less fearful and anxious than firstborns, partly because parents are more relaxed with second children. While middleborns may feel they lived in the shadow of their older siblings, this experience develops valuable empathy and resilience. As psychologist Kathy Nessel notes, middle children are tenacious adults because we are used to life being rather unfair. Our expectations are lower, consequently, we are more accepting in a relationship. Lastborns typically approach life as outgoing charmers and personable manipulators, affectionate and uncomplicated with a "what, me worry?" approach. They naturally gravitate toward being the family clown or entertainer, seeking attention through humor and performance. Behind their charming, carefree exterior, lastborns often harbor a rebellious streak. They can be temperamental, manipulative, spoiled, impatient, and impetuous. Part of their motivation for being the clown prince is compensation for not being the crown prince. Their siblings often have all the talent and smarts, while they feel like a dud by comparison. This leads them to seek attention through antics and develop a burning desire to prove themselves in a world where they're always the youngest, smallest, and seemingly least equipped to compete. Lastborns live in the potent shadow of those who were born before. Parents often greet lastborns' achievements with polite yawns rather than excitement, comparing them unfavorably to older siblings. Parents are typically taught out by the time the last born arrives, leaving much instruction to older siblings. This contributes to the last born's determination to show them and prove their worth. Parents often inexplicably loosen discipline with lastborns, either from fatigue or overconfidence in their parenting skills. This permissiveness allows lastborns to get away with murder through manipulation, clowning, and disturbing the family peace. Lastborns excel at manipulation, using plaintive cries like, "Mommy, I can't do it," to get parents and siblings to clear life's obstacles for them, particularly with schoolwork, where parents unwittingly hinder development by doing work for their children. Despite their reputation for having it easy, lastborns face unique challenges. They often become too dependent when coddled excessively. They receive abuse and teasing from older siblings, and nothing they do seems original, since their siblings have done it all before. Lastborns frequently feel that nothing I do is important, as their achievements can't compete with older siblings' milestones. Lastborns embody the Nike slogan, "Just do it," with their impetuous, brash approach to life. Behind their veneer of independence lies an inner rebel determined to make their mark and show the world they're a force to be reckoned with. Unable to compete with high-achieving older siblings through conventional means, they seek attention through disruption. Understanding birth order provides a competitive advantage in business by helping professionals get behind others' eyes to see the world from their perspective. Birth order knowledge offers insight into how different personalities operate, making it an invaluable tool for salespeople. As Harvey Mackay noted, the salesperson who hits the top of the charts is the one who understands human nature the best. Birth order dramatically influences purchasing behavior. Firstborns approach buying methodically, researching extensively, comparing options carefully, and making deliberate decisions. Middleborns conduct moderate research, primarily asking friends and reading some reviews, are more susceptible to celebrity endorsements, and make decisions more quickly. Lastborns exemplify impulsive buying, deciding they want something, acting immediately, and making snap decisions based on superficial features, often regretting their choices later. When selling to firstborns, be cautious and efficient. They're all about specifications and bottom-line value. Skip the flashy brochures and bold claims. Arrive early, never late. Keep presentations brief, 3 to 5 minutes, direct and well-planned. Provide ample details, but don't press for immediate decisions. Acknowledge both pros and cons of your offering. Firstborns respect honesty about limitations. Middle children are fundamentally relational buyers who respond to genuine connection rather than hard selling. They enjoy being asked questions, something they rarely experienced growing up. Build relationships slowly. They require more nurturing than decisive firstborns or impulsive lastborns. Middle children value security, service, and warm fuzzies over price alone. When selling to lastborns, remember they want entertainment but have short attention spans. They're highly susceptible to name-dropping and impressed by prominent clients. Unlike firstborns who want specs and data, lastborns prefer full-color photos and visual appeal. They care about what this does for me and how it makes them feel. The ultimate secret to business success is taking a genuine personal interest in others. This approach builds lasting relationships. If you call someone years later after showing interest in their personal life, they'll remember you because you connected with them as a person, not just a transaction. The principle applies universally. Treat people how you'd like to be treated, and good things naturally follow. Marriage counseling reveals that the most volatile and competitive relationships often involve two firstborns or two only children. These couples frequently engage in power struggles, contradicting the unity that marriage should embody. As perfectionists and nitpickers by nature, they fight over minor details, from driving routes to household habits, meal preparation techniques to parenting decisions. Their shared drive for control can create an atmosphere of tension, where even small disagreements escalate into major conflicts because neither partner is naturally inclined to yield. The best marriage combinations typically involve different birth orders. Opposites not only attract but complement each other. Research shows firstborn/only children paired with lastborns make the strongest matches, followed by middle children with lastborns. According to studies of 3,000 families, firstborn-lastborn marriages have higher success rates and report greater satisfaction levels. The opposites attract dynamic works particularly well. Firstborns teach lastborns organization, goal setting, and time management, while lastborns help firstborns relax, enjoy spontaneity, and not take life so seriously. The ideal match appears to be firstborn females with lastborn males, as these pairs often balance traditional leadership roles with playful dynamics. When two middle children marry, communication challenges often arise, as both tend to avoid confrontation and may discount the value of their own opinions. Their shared tendency to compromise can lead to decision paralysis, where neither partner takes strong positions on important matters. A suggestion bowl can help overcome communication barriers. Each spouse writes suggestions on different colored paper and deposits them in a visible container, allowing them to express thoughts they struggle to say face to face. Regular check-ins and structured communication exercises can also help middle child couples develop more assertive communication patterns. Two lastborns married to each other often struggle with household management and responsibility. Their natural inclination toward spontaneity and fun can lead to chaos in practical matters. They must explicitly decide who handles bills, shopping, cooking, cleaning, social calendars, and child discipline. Without clear division of responsibilities, both may assume the other is handling important tasks, leading to missed payments, scheduling conflicts, and household disorder. Creating detailed chore charts, setting up automatic bill payments, and establishing regular household meetings can help lastborn couples maintain order. Birth order combinations in marriage are indicators, not rules, arrows pointing in directions rather than determinants of marital success. Even supposedly challenging combinations like two firstborns can build successful marriages if they consciously work to divide power and control. What truly matters is how couples use their particular strengths and address their weaknesses. Understanding each other's birth order characteristics helps partners anticipate potential conflicts, develop effective communication strategies, and create systems that work for their unique relationship dynamic. Successful marriages require partners to move beyond their natural tendencies and develop skills that complement their spouse's characteristics. Parenting firstborns means preventing discouraged perfectionism. Almost all firstborns and only children struggle with perfectionism, even those who appear unmotivated. When young children try to imitate much older, more capable parents, they develop the belief they must be perfect. Parents inadvertently reinforce this by fixing their children's efforts, sending the message that their work isn't good enough. All firstborns experience dethronement when a second child arrives. By age 3, a firstborn has developed 60% of their lifestyle as the family's kingpin, making the arrival of a sibling deeply disruptive. Prepare firstborns by having them set aside special toys the baby can't touch while selecting others to share. Involve the firstborn in baby care, highlight what the baby can't do, and allow the firstborn to stay up later than the baby, creating special privileges that offset the loss of exclusive attention. For middle children, parents should create opportunities to share feelings through scheduled walks or car rides where looking out the window makes conversation easier. This is especially important for the third child in larger families who can easily get lost in the shuffle. Make middle children feel special by letting them make choices, establish regular privileges exclusively theirs, provide new clothing items rather than only hand-me-downs, and ensure the family photo album contains plenty of individual pictures of them, not just with siblings. When parenting lastborns, beware of being manipulated. The problem isn't the charming lastborn child, but the parents who become permissive. Parental permissiveness can leave lastborns unprepared for real life's adversities. Assign fair household responsibilities rather than letting them duck work. enforce the same rules applied to older siblings, celebrate their accomplishments, and call their bluff when necessary with clear consequences. Beyond all the birth order insights and strategies, there remains one essential element in parenting that works for every position: unconditional, go-for-broke, no-holds-barred, sacrificial love for both children and spouse. This love manifests in daily actions, from attending soccer games in freezing rain to listening intently to a child's lengthy story about their day, from defending a child's character while addressing their behavior to celebrating their unique achievements, however small. Birth order is an influence, not an unchangeable determinant of personality. While firstborns may tend toward perfectionism and middle children toward diplomacy, these traits are guidelines rather than guarantees. Parental treatment is as important as birth position, sometimes more so. A firstborn who receives inconsistent attention may develop middle child characteristics, while a lastborn given significant responsibilities might exhibit firstborn traits. Each birth order has inherent strengths and weaknesses that parents must accept while helping children develop their full potential. No birth order is inherently better than others. Each position comes with unique advantages and distinct challenges. Firstborns may excel in leadership but struggle with perfectionism. Middle children often develop exceptional negotiation skills but might battle feelings of being overlooked. Lastborns typically show creativity and charm but may need extra encouragement to develop independence. Understanding these patterns helps parents provide targeted support while avoiding harmful comparisons between siblings. Understanding birth order isn't a quick-fix formula. Changing oneself requires significant work, determination, and often professional guidance. Parents who succeed in navigating birth order dynamics typically combine awareness with intentional action, scheduling one-on-one time with each child, creating opportunities for each to shine in their unique way, and adjusting parenting strategies to match each child's position-influenced needs. The most successful families recognize birth order patterns while remembering that each child is uniquely created with individual gifts, talents, and purpose. They create family traditions that celebrate individual achievements while fostering group solidarity. These families understand that birth order insights are tools for understanding, not boxes for limiting potential. The ultimate goal isn't to label children by their birth position, but to understand their natural tendencies so we can better love, guide, and appreciate them for exactly who they are. This means celebrating the firstborn's leadership while helping them relax perfectionist standards, nurturing the middle child's diplomatic skills while ensuring they feel seen, and encouraging the lastborn's creativity while building their sense of responsibility. When we embrace both the science of birth order and the art of unconditional love, we create families where every child, regardless of position, can thrive and develop into their authentic selves.